Good morning. Come on, it's always a good morning when we get to welcome some babies here. Congratulations, families. It's so fun. So fun. But not that fun. I'm pointing at my wife. The first thing she said when I sat down is, "They're so cute." So I moved over a seat. We have seven children, so we're good. I heard some gasps. Yep. If you're thinking about planting a church, it's easy. Start having kids. Every time you have dinner, you can have church. It's awesome. All right, I got some stuff I want to talk to us about this morning. And I'm going to invite you just to join me in prayer right now. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here. Lord, you are worthy. You're worthy of praise and honor, glory. Lord, we exalt your name in this place. Lord, we magnify you in this place today. But you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of our honor. Jesus, we exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. God, right now, we enthrone you in our praises. You know, the scripture says that he is enthroned. He is literally seated in a position that our praises are bringing his dominion, his authority into our circumstance. If you're going through something today, the best thing you can do is be worshiping the Lord in the midst of it. When you decree, when you worship him, you praise him in the midst of your trouble, you're establishing his throne over your circumstance, his lordship. Lord, we worship you today. Come on, church. We worship you today, Jesus. We enthrone you, Jesus. Lord, come and have your way. Come and have your way this morning. God, I thank you for every person who's here, those who are listening online, Lord, will join us later on, listening like a podcast. Lord, I thank you, God, that every person who would hear the sound of my voice today, Lord, that there would be something that would shake on the inside. God, that your words, your voice, Lord, would cut through the mud and the mire of the world and all the other voices, and it would be your voice, Holy Father, that resonates off of every heart. God, I thank you that today, like Pastor Dave announced earlier, that today is a day for a miracle, that today is a day for breakthrough, that Jesus is not far off, that he's right here in the midst of us. Lord, I thank you that right now, that today would be a day that brings change, that brings transformation, that marks, Lord God, moving forward, drawing a line in the sand, never the same. Lord, we decree that over this time today. We thank you for that, Lord. And God, I just decree in Jesus' name, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that we would know you, Lord, and that our world would be transformed because of that. We thank you for these things. And everybody who agreed with that said, amen. Amen. All right, if you have a Bible, would you open up to Luke chapter 10? I'm going to attempt to be abbreviated from what we did last night. How many were here last night? Wow. The place just blew up last night. I had to kick people out. I haven't had to kick people out in a long time. Not during the service or anything like that. I mean, because people wouldn't leave. We were hanging out. You know, it's 11 o'clock, and there's a full room still. People just ministering over each other and hanging out like they're at, you know, Doolittle's or whatever down the street. It was going on there too. You know, I had young people last night afterwards. They were like, we're chit-chatting a little bit, and they were like, "Pastor Jamie, we got to go." I was like, "Hey, what's going on?" They're like, "There's a team of us. We're heading to the hospital right now. We heard somebody, you know, this person had a catastrophic injury, and they're going to die unless they get a miracle." And so there's a team of students last night that were just like, "We're going." You know, I talked with another young man that they have been, for the last 3 weeks, they have been going to a hospital room where a man went into have a small surgery, a minor surgery, but when he went under the anesthesia, he couldn't come out of of the anesthesia, and he's been basically comatose for, you know, for that long time. And so they've been just faithfully going and just decreeing every day, you know, going in there and decreeing life over him. He's going to wake up, and he's been waking up. Come on. Another guy had an allergy to watermelon. I don't know how you have an allergy to watermelon. But whatever, when he'd eat it, his throat would swell up, and he would begin to, you know, be asphyxiated by, you know, this reaction to watermelon. And he had been fasting and praying, and the thing that he was asking the Lord for was breakthrough. He's like, Lord, this is his declaration. He said, Lord, you made watermelons. You made watermelons. There's nutrition in there. I want that in my body. I hear they're good. I can't eat them, Lord. I want to be able to eat them. Right? So he's just bringing this declaration. He's been fasting and praying for breakthrough. And so he's like, I'm going for it. Goes and buys himself a watermelon. You know, he made sure someone was standing there with an EpiPen or whatever. But he's like bold, just not refusing to bow the knee to temporary circumstance. And he's telling me this last night, and I'm like, wow. You know, if I had an allergic, you know, reaction to bee stings, I'm not sure. I go raise honey, you know? You know, but this he's just going into it. You know what he did? The guy who was with him said, why don't we start with a bite? And he's like, no. He juiced the whole thing, put her in a glass, and boom, all the way down. Not a single reaction, completely healed. Now, before I get an email, what I'm talking about this morning is I'm talking about this present tense connectedness to the Lord and to his ministry, that then when you're stepping into faith, what was impossible before is now possible. When the Lord speaks, it creates things. You know, in the beginning, you can read it, Genesis 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he would speak, and then it would become what he spoke. Are you with me? Didn't take many words. He said, let there be light, and boom, there is light. You know, let there be the stars and the expanse and the waters. And he would speak these things. And when the words would come out, those words would create the new reality. There is a creative nature in the voice of the Lord that in one moment you can be without option. I don't know if you've ever faced a moment where you didn't have options, where you came to either a dead end or it's very clear there's only one option and it's not a good one. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, it's a little bit like coming up to a one-way street, right? You pull up to it, there is not options, it's just this direction, nothing else, and it's not a good option, right? In one moment where there is no options, when the Lord Jesus speaks into your circumstance, his voice carries creative power. So what was not possible 2 moments ago, now because he spoke, it is possible. His words just created a new reality. Okay, this is the present tense relationship that we have with our God. It's one thing to live on yesterday's word, right? You can go backwards and you can look at what God's done in the past. You can see his faithfulness, but it is a whole nother thing to be living by the rhema word of the Lord. What is he saying today? I know your circumstances were turned around 2 weeks ago, but what's God saying today? Why isn't today a new day? Heaven, help me. Are y'all alive there? Did the zombie apocalypse actually happen? When Jesus speaks, it creates a new reality. What wasn't possible before is now possible. Man can't live on bread alone. He lives by every word that is proceeding currently, right now. What is God saying right now? The Lord is speaking over your life, and he is with you in your journey. He is present in your journey. He's not far off. Sometimes we approach God as if he's far off. We pray as if we're praying to a galaxy far, far away. But that's not true. He's here. He is in the midst of us. He has so married himself to your life that he's there. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Whatever you are going through, he's right there in the middle of it. Come on, is anybody alive this morning? Listen, if you're needing provision in your life, right? There are practical aspects for needing provision, okay? If you're not working, you ought to get a job, right? God has given you strength to work, to labor. And when you put your hands to the plow, when you labor, when you work for someone or you work for yourself or you produce something with your mind or with your actions, there is revenue that comes in. There's provision that comes from planting, sowing, and reaping, right? This process. But there is also provision tied to the voice of the Lord. What wasn't possible before is possible because God spoke. I know that there are practical things that you need to be doing to change your circumstance. I'm speaking to somebody here, okay? If it may not be for you, but it's probably for the person sitting next to you. So just elbow them right now. Hey, this one's for you. Wake up. I know that there are practical things that every person must do. Can I tell you, for me, the most practical thing in the world, most practical thing in spiritual life, in living in this world, knowing Jesus, most practical thing that I can do each day is get up and ask the question, what you're saying today, Lord. I approach him for my daily bread. The Lord's Prayer said, you seek the Lord for your daily bread. He will speak a word to you. It will be a word in season. It'll be what he is saying to you today. He'll speak through his word. Get in the Bible. Read it. He'll highlight passages of scripture, and they will feed your soul, but it'll be more than just the nourishment of your spiritual life. It will be direction for today. It'll be what he is saying. When you live like this, anything is possible. Okay, this is one of the aspects of being current with what God is saying. How many know this the story of Abraham? Okay, a couple of us. All right, evidently I'm like talking to three people this morning. Okay, the story of Abraham. Abraham is unable to have a child, right? But then him and Sarah, they are unable to conceive. You know, Sarah is 90, Abraham's 100. Okay? Like I said, don't get any ideas, lady. My wife. You're not 90. I know you're not 90. I'm not 100, so we're... But Sarah is 90, Abraham's 100. God has given them the promise. He has said, hey, you're going to have descendants. They're going to come from you. Right? It's not possible, though. It's impossible. But what happens in a moment in time, the promise has come. But when the word of the Lord comes, when the Lord visits him, an angel comes to him and says, this time next year, she will be pregnant. When the word comes, that which was not possible is now possible. Right? It was the word that actually created the new reality. If you're listening to the Lord, your day, every day, it's new. It's new with possibility. Anything is possible today. Come on, if you're depressed, if you're stuck in yesterday, it's probably because you haven't heard what he's saying today. Leave it behind and cling to what is new. Listen to what he is saying today, the preceding word of the Lord over your life. He brings you what you need. He'll walk you right through your journey. Stay current with him. Are you with me this morning? To walk and be current with the Lord, to be in step with him, it's the most amazing thing in the world. It really is. It means every moment is an adventure. It does. Every moment's an adventure. You think going into Starbucks is just a normal, like, right? You're just going to go get a coffee, right? But if you go into Starbucks with Jesus, beware. If you go into Starbucks with Jesus and you walk by a person sitting at a table
And the Lord, whom you are listening to, you are hearing what he is saying, is like, hey, did you know that that person, I've called them unto, you know, public speaking? Huh, that's nice, Lord. I'm just trying to get a coffee. Right? The word is coming on behalf of someone else. And if I'm staying current in that word, I can strike up a conversation and let them know, hey, this is what God's saying about you. And it will confirm and bring power to a person's life for transformation. They all of a sudden will have confidence in something they didn't before. Many, many, many times people come to Jesus simply because of that. Because you brought the word that he is saying now. Every moment's an adventure with Jesus. Every moment. No such thing as a mundane day if you're walking around in step with Jesus. Okay, now I want to look at Luke chapter 10. I had you turn there earlier. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read this story about these characters. Their name is Martha and Mary. And we're going to look at the difference between walking in step, a current connection with Jesus, or one that is looking far off in the future or is still lagging behind, not in step. Are you with me here? The difference between the two worlds, okay? So this is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now, they were traveling along, speaking of Jesus and his disciples. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things. Only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen a good part, which shall not be taken from her. Mary chose a good part. It's not going to be taken from her. Now, I have, especially, you know, if you are, a Western-minded person, you know, if you grew up in another nation, you know, you will have a different point of view when you read the scriptures than I will. We read our biases into scriptures. You do. You read your accent into scripture. For instance, when I read, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things, I hear a nagging mother's voice. Anybody else? Right? I hear Mrs. Brady saying, Marcia, Marcia. Okay, be honest. How many young people have no idea what I'm talking about right now? Yep. Google it. Huh. You're worried and you're bothered about so many things. One thing is necessary. Mary's chosen the good part. It's not going to be taken from her. I want you to notice something. Okay, first of all, Jesus comes into Mary's home. Mary is it's clear that she's a person of diligence. She is thinking about the atmosphere that she's entertaining the Lord in. She is preparing for, you know, a meal, or is cleaning the house, or, you know, I tend to think of it this way, okay, because I see the different personalities here. Okay, Mary, what's she at? She's just sitting on the ground and has no problem with her sister doing all the work, right? Okay, this is your artsy-fartsy person. Don't be offended. Just go with the flow, hippie child, able just to, you know, flow from moment to moment. I'm fully engaged in this moment, and I'm not worried about the next one. How many of you are in the room? Yeah, come on. Don't be afraid. This is okay, right? But then there's the other people who have a personality more towards, like, you're thinking about the preparations. You're thinking about, you know, atmosphere. You're thinking about what needs to be done in order for this to happen, and you're worried about those things, and so you work diligently to make those things happen, and you're forward thinking in these kinds of things. How many of you are in the room? Yes, thank you, control freaks. You're awesome. I love you. See, you're my people, okay? My people. Listen, Okay, Jesus is addressing something, but he's not addressing their personalities. I've heard this sermon preached where it makes it sound like, hey, you know, if you're worried and you're about what's happening around you, then you're wrong. That's not what it says. If you're a person who is diligent and you're working and you can create, see, listen, the house doesn't exist. Their home doesn't exist without Martha. There isn't a home to bring Jesus into if Martha obviously isn't as diligent as she is. There's not a meal to eat. There's not chairs to sit on. You know, I imagine Mary was probably out that morning. Martha told her. They got up that morning. Mary, I need you to do the dishes. Okay, I need to do dishes, and then I need you to sweep the floor. Okay, the Lord is coming over this afternoon. I need you to do these things. Oh, sure, Martha, don't worry about it. I got this, right? And then she's off in the field dancing around with some flowers. Totally escapes her mind. She's not thinking about it. She's out there collecting daisies because she's going to give a gift to Jesus. She comes home. Martha comes home from the market. Jesus is following her. Right? She shows up home, the dishes aren't done, everything's in a disarray, and Mary walks in with flowers. That is the setting. Martha is like, Mary, what have you done? The Lord is on his way. Oh, I totally forgot. Man, just chill out. It's okay. Just go with the flow. Why are you so uptight, Martha? Or super apologetic because it totally spaced her mind. She's super sincere except for it still didn't happen, did it? Okay, these are personality differences. It's not what Jesus is addressing. Jesus, in this moment, says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted about so many things right now. Look at Mary. She chose the better part, and I won't take it from her. First of all, when you see a word repeated in the scriptures, it isn't, don't undo, you know, Mrs. Brady's voice, okay? He isn't nagging her. He's trying to get her attention. When he says, Martha, Martha, in the scripture, whenever you see it, a word repeated, for instance, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory, you know, in Isaiah chapter 6, you see that they're not saying holy, holy, holy. It makes a great chorus, but that's not what they're saying. It is how the writers would emphasize what the person was saying. So when Jesus repeats himself, like, truly, truly, I say unto you, or verily, verily, I say unto you, see, read that in the Gospels. He's not repeating himself. It's that he's giving emphasis to a word, and they don't have an underline or an apostrophe at the end of the word or italicis or bold type like we would today, right? There's no emojis in the scriptures, right, to emphasize the point. It literally is. He's saying just her name, but he's saying it like this. Martha, hey. Martha. Woohoo. Let me get your attention here. Martha. Right? He's grabbing her attention. He is attempting to shock her out of her current state. And he's saying to her, Martha, I'm in your living room and you're missing the moment. You're not present. You're worried and you're bothered about what hasn't been done. And so your mind is fixated on these things and you're missing what I am doing right now. Okay, that happens all the time. That happens all the time. And Jesus looks at Mary and says, okay, she chose the better part. What's the better part? The better part is to be present in the moment with the Lord. And because she's fixated onto Jesus, he's saying to her, I'm not going to take that away. That is what I'm wanting you to do. You know, there's such a power when you engage with a person and you're fully present. Have you ever had a conversation where you know the other person is not there? Or they're there one moment and then they're gone the next. And you're like, wait, where'd you go? Right? Their eyes shift from you to up, and you know, sometimes people are paying attention, but there's, you know, they're not necessarily secure in the moment or feeling confident, so sometimes eyes, but other times they're just like, you know, I mean, if I'm in a conversation with someone picks up their phone and is texting somebody, You know what I'm gonna do? Hey! Hey! You know, if my child is talking to me, next thing you know, their eyes are drifting from me as I'm sharing with them something very important. Their eyes drift from me to a television set, right? Or the bright, shiny toy, right? That is a moment where I know they're disconnected now from what I am saying, and I'm needing them to be present. That's what's happening here. Now, again, Jesus isn't correcting the diligence, not correcting the hard workers, not correcting the D personalities who drive things forward and make things happen. And he's certainly not endorsing the hippie child who don't do nothing. Obviously, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. I'm not. The Lord loves us all, and he created us all. It's his choice. He's the one who created us like this. But what he's asking is that we learn how to be present with him in the moment. So for instance, this morning, listen, there was a worship team that got up here and played, and they were worshiping the Lord. And many of us entered into the moment. And so you took the opportunity to come into the Lord's presence and to worship him. And you were really present in the moment. You were worshiping him. Others of us, you're distracted. You know? And if you're like me, you know, where my control freaks at? If you're like me, it's so easy to get distracted by an environmental thing and be thinking about how you could solve it. So easy. Happens to me all the time. Man, it is so hard for me sometimes. Right? Like, it just happens. Like, where you know something can be better, and so you want to go fix it, and that's just what you do. But in your preoccupation about what's happening someplace else, or what you're going to do afterwards, or you're looking around the room, right? Where are my young single men at? You're looking around the room for Mrs. Wright. You're wondering if she's here, right? You're preoccupied with something else. You're preoccupied with something else, and so you end up missing what the Lord is doing in the moment. And that's the thing we want to avoid. If you're present with Jesus in any moment, my goodness, anything is possible. Anything is possible. This is John chapter 11. Kind of continues the story with these characters. John 11, I'm going to start in verse 1. I love the Gospels and how they portray the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, because you actually see snapshots all the way through their relationship with Jesus. Like, it's near the beginning of his ministry, they're encountering him, and then you get to watch how Jesus is relating with this family all the way through until the very day before his death. It's a beautiful picture. One of the pictures is this. This is John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord's with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God would be glorified by it. Just pause for a moment here. Listen, we are a church who believes in miracles. Absolutely. I have no problem with it. I will be bold as a lion when it comes to this stuff. I have had friends and family stolen from this lifetime by sicknesses that have their roots in hell. Will not tolerate a lack of hope. We just won't. I know that what Jesus has paid for on the cross, that his body, his resurrection, his blood, it is enough. Paid the full price, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we're a believing church. We go for this kind of stuff, right? As a believing church, can I tell you that when a diagnosis comes down, that you should, in faith, bring a bold declaration that is in counter to it. Look at what happens. The report comes to Jesus. Look at Jesus' response. Someone says, Lazarus is sick. What's Jesus' declaration? He ain't gonna die. He's not going to die. You got a diagnosis from cancer? What's your response? Do you come into faith in agreement with your doctor's diagnosis and all the prognosis of it and what has to happen now? You come into full agreement with that and now by faith you're walking through that? No. Sons and daughters of God, there's an enemy who seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and you ought not give him or lend him your belief or faith in these things. When something comes your way, bring a declaration opposite of it. A child gets in a car accident. They will not be hurt. The Lord is with them. Is anyone alive here? I'm serious about this. Now, why is that important? Look at what Jesus' response is. He goes, he's not going to die. He sends his word. You are not going to die. Boldly declares it. And then hangs out for 2 more days. He has already released the word and he doesn't enter into worry on it. He doesn't, and it says, a couple verses later, 4 days he's been in the grave. Jesus goes, he's not going to die, yet when Jesus comes to the situation finally, he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus' declaration, if we are being analytical and we are being worldly minded, is wrong. You tell me who's right, what Jesus said to you or what that doctor said to you? Some of you are having a hard time with this. That's all right. It's okay. When the word comes, it creates a new reality. And what I'm trying to help you do today is enter into that reality. Not just mentally ascend to it, but actually partner with it. When something comes against your family, you bring a bold declaration of the kingdom in its place. Do not let that thing settle over you. No. Jesus is Lord. No. We're going to go ahead and we're going to hear what the Lord has to say about this. Man, y'all are making me work a little bit harder than I ought to be working this morning. Look at verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Okay, who left to go meet him and who stayed behind? This isn't a trick question. Who left to go meet him? Martha, okay? Martha, the doer, the actionary, the one who's prepared, the one's going for it. She's got her belief ready. She is ready to pounce, right? She hears there's a special meeting happening up north someplace and God's moving, whatever. First one on the plane to get going to it. Revival broke out and wherever, boom, you are on the plane. You're heading there. You heard a rumor. God's at work. Pow, you're going. Come on, where are my people at here? Action-oriented. And what happens, though, is you're also reaction-oriented. Something happens, boom, there's a reaction. Martha, she hears the Lord's coming. She's on it. She's heading straight towards him. Look at verse 21. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, period. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Look at her next statement. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. Is her belief right? Her belief is contrary to the circumstance. Right? Her believing, her confession, her believing is contrary to what she's just experiencing right now. Right? Her brother has been dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up and she says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, I know he wouldn't have died. But even now, anything's possible. That's a good one. Look at Jesus' response, though. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Wow. Jesus, anything is possible. So the Lord's response, okay. Full stop, period. Anything's possible, Jesus. I know you can do anything. Jesus says, you got it. He gives her what she just asked for. Right there. Look at Martha's response. Whoa, back up the train. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Okay, yeah, I don't know if you're catching this. Martha goes, Jesus, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But even now, I know anything is possible. Jesus says, you're absolutely right. Martha goes, whoa. Actually, what I mean is that I know one day in heaven, in a far off time, that all pain and all sickness will be gone away. And that I know one day in the millennial reign that the Lord Jesus will have lordship on the earth and express his lordship in his kingdom in a far greater way than we're experiencing now. I know that one day the promises all will be yes and amen, because one day I'm going to stand before God and all sickness and all disease will have been done away with, because in his presence there's all light and the blessings of the Lord are going to be fully realized in heavenly places. I know this, Lord. Can I tell you that it will not require you any faith whatsoever to come into the fullness of all God has for you in heaven? It will not require any faith whatsoever, because you'll actually be there. It won't require faith. See, Jesus actually confirms what Martha is longing for, and then when her belief is actually pressed, her confession's right. It's full of what we would call faith, but it's not. It's belief. She's right believing, but when it gets pressed, she pushes it off for another day. When Jesus is present in the moment and he's ready to do the very thing that she's asking, she goes, whoop, yep, I know someday that's going to happen. I have been, this is, you know, my own personal journey. I broke my back when I was 15 years old. I haven't known a day in my life since then where I haven't experienced pain. I am a healing preacher. I can't tell you how many people I prayed for and their backs get healed instantly. We have had tremendous miracles happen here. My good grief. Last night we had tremendous miracles happen here. We have stuff happening all the time. Can I tell you that nobody is relieved of this journey of learning how to be present with the Lord and actually apprehend things by faith? No one is exempt. Everyone, even your pastor. I'm getting the privilege of having to walk through and learn how to be present with Jesus and receive the miraculous. I've been on a journey now since I was 15 years old. Walk through it. I've had right believing the whole time. You know, there'd be a temptation, perhaps you've experienced this temptation, to then begin to find scriptures to back up your pain. Maybe this is a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan that God has sent to buffet me. Yeah, you're probably not that cool. If you're writing one, you know, half the New Testament, okay, we'll go there, but I don't think that's what it is. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think there's journey. I think everyone gets to experience journey. I think the Lord is intimate with your journey. But no one is excused from having to come to actual faith. It's one thing to have right believing. Can I tell you, your theology will not save you. Salvation doesn't come through theology. It doesn't come through right believing. Accurate believing does not bring about salvation. Faith does. Something is actually required where you have to be present in a moment where you apprehend what Jesus has done on that cross and it becomes yours. Grace comes from heaven into that moment and you're saved. It's not right believing. It's not right theology. It's not a belief system. It's actually the real, authentic God, and the invitation is here for you. When Jesus encounters Mary, just two sentences later, When Jesus encounters Mary, by the way, last night after preaching this message, last night, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to have anybody who is moving pray for me, right? And I got significant relief last night from the prayers of people. I thought, this is, yeah. Hey, listen, everybody, no one's exempt from the journey. No one is. No one's exempt from the journey. It's a wonderful opportunity to come to faith, real, authentic faith, and see the Lord do awesome stuff in your life. When Jesus approaches Mary, it says this, verse 28, when she, after Martha, first of all, Jesus corrects Martha. Martha goes, yeah, it's for a far-off day, and Jesus goes, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Are you willing, Martha, to let go of your belief that it's for a far-off time to recognize that I am actually in your presence? She said, if you were here, it wouldn't have happened. Anything's possible. That was her confession, and Jesus corrects her confession. He doesn't correct what she said. He corrects her heart position. It's possible to have the right words, but your heart not actually be in alignment with what he is saying. Okay, repeat after me. Dang. Come on now. So Jesus now comes to Mary. When she had said this, when Martha had said this, she went away and called her sister Mary, saying secretly, the Lord is here. He's calling for you. When she heard it, she got up quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come fully into the village, but she was still far off with Martha. Excuse me. Verse 31. The Jews who were with Mary in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, and said to him, what's her confession? Come on, is it up there? What'd she say? She said the exact same thing. The exact same thing. The same confession. Actually, Mary had a less of a confession. Yet look at Jesus' response. Jesus, in that moment, doesn't correct Mary's believing. He recognizes that she's present in the moment, and she, her presence in this moment, draws a holy compassion out of him, where Jesus now is about to say, where did you lay him? Where is he buried? See, there is something about being present in a moment with the Lord that is full of faith. It's different than just believing. It's possible to have right believing. You can believe in healing. You can believe that Jesus paid for it all. You can believe these things. But it's a whole different ballgame when in the moment, either you grab it by faith or you don't. When Jesus is here, when he's here in the moment, it's an opportunity for you and I to engage with what he is doing and see kingdom stuff break out. Every time we come through those doors, every time we come together and worship, come on, we are enthroning the King of Kings. He is here. He's actually here. He's actually here. He's not far off. Listen, it's possible for you to be here, but you be far off, but he's here. Every time we come together, it is possible in those moments to be present with people, be present with the Lord, and in that environment, anything he says is possible. Anything he says. What wasn't possible the moment before, as soon as he speaks, it now is. Transformation can happen in a moment, and it's not because you did your homework and studied real well. It's because you actually are present with what the Lord is doing in the moment, truly. You know the story, Jesus goes to the tomb, removes the stone, calls forth Lazarus, and a resurrection from the dead happens. Friends, how many promises have we put to rest assuming that, they're for a far off time? The Lord, gave you a promise, like Abraham. gave you a promise. And you're like, man, okay, Lord, like, I believe you. You're confessing it. I believe you. Right? But then time passes. Maybe disappointment sets in. And then when a moment comes where Jesus is present and he goes, okay, it's time. Because of disappointment or because of pain or because of life, we take that promise when the Lord is saying now, and out of self-preservation, we push it off to a far-off day. I'm not afraid to risk. I am bold with hope. And normally that sign in the back of us, we have a sign that says hope normally. And it's February, love, whatever. The reason why, I'll be careful here, I'm going to get myself in trouble. The reason why it says hope is because hope is so powerful. See, hope, it looks at a circumstance that's impossible and it says, don't worry, things can change. Don't worry, things can change. It looks at someone dying of cancer and says, oh, this is easy for Jesus. All it takes, one word, and it's done. Just takes Jesus. One moment. And good thing for you, he lives in me. See, I'm not afraid. In fact, I will share with you what is possibly my biggest pet peeve of Christendom. You know, I won't do the soapbox thing, but I will tell you that you are not welcome here if you do this. There are very few things where I will show you the door, but this is one of them. If you use theology to attempt to break hope off of people, you are wrong. If you use your accurate attempt at defining scripture, but it doesn't lead in hope, faith, or love, my friend, you may be accurate in your attempt at scripture, but you are not talking under the anointing of the Lord. You're wrong. If you take a mom who's got a sick kid and you convince her that God won't do anything because God doesn't heal today, and you do it with theology, whoa, heaven help you. Heaven help, I can't understand a wickedness beyond that. The gospel brings hope. It means hope. Literally, the gospel means good news. When you talk to people, when you use the word is not condemning people to hell. The word is attempting to give people hope for their circumstance, that they can know God, that their life can be turned around. It's absolutely illegal to steal hope from people. Is it possible to correct their believing because their believing is wrong, but leave them still in hope? Yes. Come on, some people believe crazy stuff. Okay, crazy town. And is it okay to bring accurate description of the scripture to help them to see things clearly? Yes, please do that. But you better leave them in faith. You better leave them with hope. Or you better have loved them so well that they know Jesus can meet them where they're at. In other words, they better be left better than when you got there first. Are you feeling me? These are the fighting words here at the house, okay? Because this is who he was. This is who Jesus is. When Jesus came into town, the rumor would go out, and all of the hopeless people would come find him. All of them. If you didn't have hope, if not, your circumstances were going to change and you heard Jesus was in town, you were running there. Thousands and thousands of people would flock around him because he would give hope. Let me tell you a secret. He who gives the most hope wins. God is the God of all hope. Hope doesn't come from the enemy. God is the God of all hope. What about false hope? No such thing. False believing, not false hope. Hope is something eternal. It's authored in God. It's given to people. You and I, we get to be hope dealers. I'll end with this. We don't need to belabor the point. I know that we have the ability to be present in the moment with Jesus. That in any given moment, because the God of the universe lives inside of you, that in any given moment, Jesus, who is in you, can touch people that do not have hope. So if I'm in Starbucks and I see somebody and the Lord speaks to me, I know that when I choose right now, I can step into that position of being present with Jesus and minister in such a way that will bring hope to their circumstance and their lives will be changed. I know that if you came in here today, I have no doubt. Pastor Jamie, how can you be so bold with this? Because I know him. I have no doubt that if you came in here today in a hopeless situation, that today is the day. Why not? Why not let today be the day? What are you worried about? That's awfully risky, don't you think, Pastor Jamie? Yeah, it is. And do you know how you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Believing. Your conviction is about truth. That's awesome. Praise God. This is a foundational thing, right? Believing. It's good. Faith is taking that believing, putting action to it, and having confidence. You have to take steps out. You have to come into agreement with it, but not, you can't just sit there and wait. You actually have to engage it. When the Lord speaks, it creates a new reality, and you should have faith in that moment. Why not? Why not today be the day that everything turns around? Why? Don't get your hopes up. I want you to get your hopes way up. Every time we come in here, it is an opportunity. Every time you're around the body of Christ, it's an opportunity to see Jesus do amazing things. I don't know what he'll do, but he'll do something. Are you alive this morning? Here's what we're going to do. In a moment here, listen, even if you're visiting, by the way, welcome. We're passionate about Jesus because he saved us. Like he really did. Like he truly saved me. And when you know him, you can't help it but to be this zealous towards him. I know that he wants to do great things in your life, truly. Anything is possible. Just be present with him. Don't be worried about preparations. Don't be worried about lunch. Don't be worried. Just engage him. He's here. Engage him in that person that's sitting next to you. Here's what we're going to do. Okay, in a moment, I'm going to have you just get into pairs or in groups of three. Listen, and it's very simple. You know, if you're totally out, this is way outside your comfort zone, you're like, man, I am not interested in doing this, at least receive some prayer today. Okay, you don't need to necessarily do what I'm asking you to do, but at least get someone to pray for you, because what if the impossible really did happen for you? Wouldn't that be nice? We're getting to get into just the groups of two or three. Okay, and in fact, right now, would you just tag two people? Go, you're it, all right? You're on my team. This is all we're going to do. It's real simple. Okay, I'm about to turn you loose and then we're done. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to let the person know, whoever got tagged, okay, whoever's your prayer partner, you're going to let them know, this is what I'm needing breakthrough for in my life. And the other person is going to boldly declare that Jesus is present and that his promises are true, and we're going to decree over them that breakthrough. Okay, we're going to partner today with your faith. Okay, your faith is going to access Jesus today in this place. Anything is possible. He is here. Come on, why not? Why not get your hopes up today? Why not today be the day that that thing ends? Why not be today the day where it brings breakthrough? Okay, whatever it is, doesn't matter how simple it is. Listen, if I said to you, if I could give you any blessing, what would it be? You probably could rattle something off. Go with that. Okay? Go with that. This is what I would like to receive from the Lord. Okay, this is not some name it, claim it thing. This is literally Jesus is here, and I know that he loves you. I know that he wants to bring breakthrough. Why not get your hopes up? Are you alive? Okay, so Father in heaven, would you stand to your feet? Father in heaven, I thank you for this company of amazing people. God, that your hand is on their lives. Lord, you love them. Lord, that you're present here in this place. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you today that you're knocking at the door of people's lives, on their hearts. God, I know that you are knocking on the door of people's lives. Listen, if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, if he has never been your Lord, if you've never received his death as payment for your sins, by faith you must engage this. He is here. He will save you. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. If you have been far off, maybe at one point in your life you were walking with the Lord, but for some reason you have stopped walking with him and you've been far off, today is the day where you can come back. He's here. Today is the day. If you'll turn your heart, he'll save you. If you'll turn your heart, he'll come in. He'll fellowship again. You'll hear his voice. He'll minister to you. If that's you this morning, if that's you, I want you to pray with me. Okay, I'm going to bring this prayer this morning, and I'm going to have you repeat after me if that was you. Listen, in fact, I'm going to have the whole congregation this morning. I want you to pray out loud with me, okay, everyone. But if you are believing the Lord to bring, to your repenting, you're coming back to him, or you're receiving Jesus for the first time, hallelujah, it's going to be an awesome day. Okay, church, I want you to come into agreement with me as we pray. Repeat after me, Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus. That you died on the cross, Lord. And that you were raised from the dead. That your blood was shed so that I could be forgiven. So that I could come into your family. Today, Jesus, I invite you into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me clean, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. Holy Spirit of God, would you come right now and fill each one that prayed that prayer? Lord, you know people's hearts. Listen, it wasn't right words. It's your heart. If your heart reached out to the Lord today, he's here. Holy Spirit of God, would you come right now and seal each one? Seal the work that you're doing in each one, Lord. We release fresh mercy over each one this morning. Be forgiven, be washed clean, be renewed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you now for each person here. God, that your power is going to meet them where they're at. And I thank you, Lord, that the prayers, the simple prayers, listen, your prayers for the person next to you, it doesn't have to be complicated, okay? You're literally just agreeing with them. Lord, I agree for this breakthrough in their life. That's simple, okay? Father, I thank you for anointing your people today. Powerfully, God. Powerfully, God. Father, that breakthrough happens. That breakthrough happens today. The lives are changed. Circumstances that were not possible before are possible, but today, I thank you for that, God. Lord, we decree these things. We decree these things this morning in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agreed to that prayer said, amen. Amen. All right, would you turn, grab that person. I just want you to begin to pray for them. Just ask them real quick. Okay, hey, what are we praying for? Okay, as soon as you're done, you go ahead and be released. As soon as you're done, go ahead and be released. God bless you guys.